Welcome to Y'all Call This a Date,
a podcast for queer people by queer people.
We're queer people. I'm Emma.
I'm Emma.
And I'm Mackenzie.
And today, we have been talking so much about our lovely friend Gabe, we decided to go ahead and just bring him in as a guest star. So here's our friend Gabe.
Hi. I'm a little nervous.
Okay. It's just like talking, like we're just talking.
Yeah, we're just talking.
Yeah, just say hi to me.
Hi, Emma.
Hi.
It's just Hugh today.
Hi, Gabe.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm quite well. How are
you? This is going to be a bitch to edit.
I know.
I told you.
Can we get a clean take of you saying hi?
Hi.
I'm still talking.
What? Ready, Gabe?
Hi, I'm Gabe.
Wait, okay, ready? I'm going to point at you. Ready? Everyone?
No crosstalk.
Wait, I can do this. I can do this. Okay, ready? Everyone just, shh. Hi, I'm Gabe. Hi, I'm Gabe. You have like two in there now.
Just say hi.
Hi.
Okay. Wait 5 seconds and then say hi.
I'm sorry.
Hi.
That was good.
That sounds too eager.
What's your name?
Hi, I'm Gabe.
About our lovely friend, and he is such a wonderful part of our lives that it's difficult to not just mention him all the time. So we decided to go ahead and bring him on as a guest today. Also because we would love to hear his perspective on our topic, which is coming out.
Hi, I'm Gabe.
Hi, Gabe.
Hi, Emma. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
That's
how
so
are
good
you?
To hear. That's so good to hear.
Some of us have been drinking.
No. That's false.
Maybe we should just jump into the questions.
Yeah, so our questions today all revolve around the topic of coming out. And Gabe actually had the first question, if you want to start us off.
Yeah, I'm looking. Here it is. I was saying, like, how some people don't ever come out because they're just accepted as being queer right away, but other people have to come out because maybe they're raised in a religious family, or maybe they're raised in a household that's not as open-minded.
Yeah.
I think what's really great about having all four of us speak on this topic is that we all have really different experiences with coming out.
Yeah.
Like, I, in a way, didn't have to, but also did have to.
Yeah. I think you and I have the two opposite ends of the spectrum of had to come out but didn't actually have to.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, my parents are just... My parents are both water signs, so they're both just really like... You know what? Yeah, that's fine. That's sure.
And then Gabe had to come out. Gabe had a whole, like, coming out of the closet experience.
Yeah.
I've never had that. So the topic of coming out, I think, was too big of a topic for just us three to handle. I think it's good that we have Gabe to share some insight.
Yeah, I grew up Catholic.
Woo!
Oh boy!
How's that guilt?
It's still there. But not as bad as it used to be. Like, damn, am I sinning when I have a dick up my ass?
I think
no.
Maybe.
Depends on who you ask.
I mean, also, we could talk about, like, why is it that some of us didn't need to come out?
Yeah.
And why some of us did. But, like, I do feel like part of it does just circle back to our parents.
Yeah, and, like, where we're raised to.
Yeah. Cultural. Well, why don't we, do you want to dive right into the questions? Maybe we can kind of discuss our own.
Yeah.
Experiences in relation to them?
So the first one I screenshotted was, did your coming out encourage any of your other friends or family to come out?
Yes.
Yeah, short answer. Definitely.
Yeah. Mackenzie's take? Yes. Yeah, so when I came out, a few family members actually, who will not be named, through hearing about my experience, realized that they were also not heterosexual people. And also, when I came out to my friends, a few of them were like, oh my god, that's crazy, because me too. So,
I guess, you know what I'm realizing? I haven't actually come out to anybody. Like, I've never actually told any of my family, other than, like, technically my mom and dad and my sister and my brother. But, like, my extended family, I've never actually told anybody that I'm gay. And I never really had to tell any of my friends. We kind of just flocked together and never said anything about our queer identities until after high school.
See, that's why I came out online as well, because I have such a sprawling family, and I didn't want to have to, like, deal with coming out to each one of them individually, so I was just like, fuck it, all-encompassing, do it all at once.
You know what I did just remember, though? My senior prom, my best friend at the time, Sean, who was, like, one of the very few out gay men at our high school, won the prom king, and I won the prom queen. Hot. And we had, like, our first dance as prom king and queen, and he, like, picked me up and spun me around and was like, the queers win this round! So, like, I feel like then is when most people in my high school figured out that I'm not straight.
No. So, no, I don't think my coming out. Like, yeah, I mean.
But you didn't really come out. Right?
I never did come out. I think me being gay made it a lot easier for my siblings to kind of explore that. I don't feel like I had any friends who came out because they knew that I was gay, but I do know that as the oldest of five siblings, me starting to bring home girls kind of made them, I guess, more like aware of that possibility. And so I had a sister who, because I started bringing girls home, she went around and, like, told everyone that she was a lesbian, and she was 7 years old. And she would just go around and, like, tell her other 7-year old friends, like, yeah, I'm a lesbian and I like to kiss girls. And she got in really big trouble from one of her teachers for doing that because, like, she was like, we don't talk about who we kiss in school.
We're literally
7 years old. Like, and yeah, so I think that they kind of saw it as, like, something maybe novel and that they wanted to try on for themselves. And my mom had to, like, sit them down and be like, you're way too young for this. Explore this at a later date, please. I don't think Ellie would be mad at me for saying that she is also queer, and that's nice. Pretty much everyone in my family likes women to some capacity, so. Pride Month is fun in my house. Prides are family gatherings, family occasions.
Whoa.
They're fun.
I cannot say the same.
Yeah, but tell us more about you.
Have I impacted anyone? I think that there have been a few people that have reached out to me since I came out, and it's been, like, just, like, questions about, like, I think I'm this. Like, one person asked me about labels in particular, and I was just, like, I thought about you a lot. I'm, like, some people feel empowered using labels. Like, I do feel empowered saying I'm gay, and, like, maybe you feel that way about being a lesbian. But then other people just are so confused by sexuality.
Yeah.
So I'm, like, maybe don't assign a label to it until you really feel empowered to use a label.
Yeah, period.
So that's some advice I've given to one of my friends who I'm not going to name on here. Other people, like, there was actually a lot of people that I think subconsciously influenced me to come out. Like, there was this 13-year-old that I did theater with that was just super gay and super proud of it. Other people that were homosexual that I looked up to. But yeah, that's basically it.
But nobody in your life that you know of?
Mm-mm, no.
Well, I think that that's a pretty decent lead-in to the next question I want to get into. How does one gauge if/when it's safe to come out to one's family?
Ooh.
Whoa. What a heavy question. When you're leaving for college. that's what I did. I don't know. That's really a hard question because it's, like, literally different for everyone. Because some people have pretty crazy households where, like, they won't be kicked out or not accepted.
Yeah.
While others maybe will get lucky. Like, I consider myself lucky. Like, I'm not saying that I'm accepted fully for who I am,
mm-hmm.
but I'm at least loved regardless of all of that.
You're not in danger.
I'm not in danger.
Yeah.
So I don't feel necessarily qualified to, like, be like, this is the right time to come out?
No. We're not qualified to give any advice, but we do it.
T.
Yeah. I think Gabe's opinion is honestly going to be the most helpful because I had a pretty decent time growing up, like, with my family just kind of being like, oh, you know, someday when you bring, like, a boy home or a girl, we don't know. Like, that's okay, too. Like, you know how parents in the 2000s would kind of, like, jokingly slide in, like, oh, you might be gay, we don't know.
My parents did that, but the opposite.
My parents were like,
yeah, your future wife or husband, that's always a possibility.
You might
whatever
be straight.
Whatever you feel fits you best.
So I like you said, Gabe, I feel pretty lucky to have had that.
Oh yeah.
I understand is a huge privilege.
Super privileged.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't know if I want to get emotional.
We should.
But I'm thinking about all this, like hearing that, it's like I always consider my experience lucky. But I didn't have anyone being like, oh, it's okay if you're gay, blah, blah, blah. It was always, like, not talked about in my household. And, like, it's hard to distinguish. Like, I love my parents. And my mom, like, is accepting of it. And, like, not everyone else in my household is. My aunt is. Like, majority is. My dad isn't. I didn't want to just go out and say it, but I did. And it's to the point where it's, like, I was raised super religious, but I was also raised that that's wrong. Like, being a homosexual is wrong. So, growing up, I knew I was gay, but I also really pushed it down to where I was like, no, I'm not gay, like, this is a phase, like, this is just fine, until, like, I was, like, to this day, I'm still kind of, like, I still get, like, my Facebook articles from family members where it's, like, gay is bad, and it's, like, I try to find the, like, I try to still love those people, and I do, which is confusing, but then it's, like, I was, a lot of my shame and a lot of my issues with why I didn't come out sooner is because I was taught that that's wrong. And then when I did come out, it was probably one of the scariest things I've ever done because, like, I was scared to be disowned. And, like, no one should ever feel that way. Mm-hmm. And, like, looking back, it's, like, I justified a lot being all, like, no, it's fine. Like, I'm lucky. But also, I did have to go through the fear of possibly not being, like...
You'd, like, weigh that.
Yeah, weigh that. And, like, yeah, I never really thought about that till now.
So... with your situation, I feel like, with coming out, there's no way to change who you are. And there's no way to change what your truth is. And when you finally do feel safe enough to come out, and then, like, you're living, like, there are certain people that you have come out to that aren't accepting of it. How do you cope with that?
I think I've gotten really good at finding the difference between love and liking someone.
Yeah.
Like, I love the people in my life that don't accept me for who I am because I genuinely do love them. I was brought up loving them. I think that they're overall good people. A lot of them are older, so they were raised in a time where they were just taught that that is wrong no matter what. Yeah. Not an excuse. So I love them, and I know that they mean good, but on the other side of that, the toxic trait that I think comes along with that is that I'm not very good at seeing, like, those negative things and, like, putting myself first, I think. Mm-hmm. And I'm very much like, yeah, they don't have to come to my wedding or they don't have to do this. But in the reality of it, it's like, I would love if they came to my wedding. Right. I would love if they supported me because that's what love is.
Yeah.
So I think I'm still on that journey to being able to decipher the two, if that makes sense.
Totally.
Yeah, like, they can't give you the same love that you give them.
Yeah, like, why am I the one who has to be the one giving all that love?
Period.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to address that there's tons of different safes.
Yeah.
Like, you might be safe of not getting kicked out of your house, or you might be safe from abuse, but that doesn't mean you're necessarily safe from the emotional abuse that might come your way, or the emotional scarring that might come your way. So then, like, I think that's really important to, like, weigh those out, too.
Yeah.
And make sure that, like...
financially safe.
Yeah, seriously, financially safe, especially if you're going to college and your parents help you pay for college. Yeah, seriously, that probably hit different.
Yeah, so just, like, I think gauging all of those, like, people who their opinions are going to actually affect you in, like, either emotional, financial, well-being, any of those, and deciding if you're ready to, like, risk that, I guess, and, like, if they don't respond positively, which one of those things, you know, you can kind of, like, give, like, if it's worth it to you.
And also, a lot of people in the closet get shit on for being in the closet. And I think that's a toxic thing that's happened in the gay community. Where it's like, you don't owe anyone anything. If you want to be in the closet and you are, maybe not happy isn't the right word, but if you are content being there for right now.
Yeah, if it works for you right now, then, like,
if that's why would you? In my case, I just kind of live my life and expect people to be cool with that. So, by technically, I'm in the closet. I'm content.
Yeah.
You're in a glass closet. It means, like, you're just living your life.
You don't have to, like, hide it.
Whereas if you were probably in, like, if you were in a religious household.
You have to, like, be careful about what you were posting. You have to be mindful of that kind
of
stuff.
And you're also constantly taught that it's wrong, so you were kind of, in a way, brainwashed. And it's interesting because, like, I really tend to, like, minimize my coming out story because I think that I'm super lucky, and I am. I have gotten really lucky with my, when I hear other people's coming out story, I'm like, Jesus Christ. But it is interesting that there are so many different levels of it. Like, people that don't come out, people that get kicked out because they come out. And, like, there's just so many different variables.
Next question is, out in one home, closeted in another.
Yeah. Give me a minute while I think of some good advice other than saying, shit, man, that fucking sucks. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of what coming out is, though. Like, a lot of it is gonna suck.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, like, if that is what works for you, then that's great. If you want to just be out in one house and then leave the other house, yeah. They don't need it, then that's fine.
Out
that's
just
great.
Just at college versus out at your, like, parents. Because, like, yeah. There's more than one definition of home. Like, mm-hmm. I was out at school way before I was out at home.
Yeah, you can be choosy. You can be picky and choosy.
And you don't have to share anything with anyone you don't care about.
Period.
Yeah.
Like, they don't deserve it.
That's tea.
They're not, yeah, nobody's entitled to anything. If you feel like you would like to share that part of yourself with somebody because you want them to know, great. Anybody else can choke.
Yeah. Seriously, literally.
Hell yeah.
I think that what you just said, Emma, is a really good sentiment for, like, just this whole episode. Yeah, I think that.
Be choosy.
Yeah.
And nobody's entitled.
Nobody's entitled to know anything about you, honestly.
And it doesn't make you a bad queer.
Oh, yeah.
Or
really
a bad
doesn't
person.
Make you a bad queer.
I can't really relate to this question because I came out when I was still living at home. But when half of your family disagrees and then the other half is like, yes, queen, it's kind of like, I don't know what to do. Because you're just like, I am gay, and half my family accepts it, but the other half is just praying for me. You're just kind of like, ah, so I decided to come out right before I moved to Seattle, because I'm like, I'll come out and, like, tell my friends, which, honestly, I got lucky. Most of my friends were very accepting. Moved to Seattle. I was, like, I experienced culture shock, because I came from a small town that was pretty, Republican, conservative is probably the better word. And then I came to Seattle, and, like, everyone was gay, and I was like, what the fuck? I feel like even still now to this day, I go back home and I adopt some habits that I had when I was still in the closet to make everyone else around me comfortable.
Mm.
But while I'm in Seattle, which I consider my, like, another home for me, I'm very comfortable being 100% myself, but I feel more comfortable expressing my, like, opinions and beliefs when I'm around other queers and people that love me for who I am fully.
And yeah. Does it feel weird having that kind of, like, split, or does it feel safer to kind of leave a part of yourself that you know could be hurt by people's opinions here, where it's safe and you're kind of in the home where everyone accepts you, and then when you go back to a place where it's dangerous, just kind of be like, I'm gonna leave that part out?
Yeah.
Or does it feel...
What a good
bad. Like, does it feel like you're kind of missing that part of you?
I always dread going home until I'm home. Because I love my family. I love visiting them, especially my sister, who's always 100% accepted me for who I am. But not everyone is like that. Like, I'm not even talking about people I'm close to. I'm talking about people I see in the grocery store. People who look at me and are like, whoa, like, that's not cool here. But once I'm home, I also feel this, like, relief of where, like... Because I'm not going to lie to you. I do think that this could be a whole other episode. I won't dig into it. I do think parts of the gay community, especially for people who identify as male, can be very toxic.
Mm.
And I think since moving to Seattle, I've discovered that. So going back home is kind of like a, okay, I don't need to deal with that part of me, even though it's a part I eventually do need to deal with because that's who I am. So I think it's always the dread before actually going home I worry about the most. And then I can't be home for too long because I literally don't like reverting back to my old me.
I feel that so hard.
Yeah.
The culture is so different. And, like, I know I grew up there and it felt very accepting when I was there. But now that I live here in Seattle, every time I go home, I'm like, oh, God, I forgot that, like, fear feels like this.
Yeah.
I'm like, I, like, am scared of people looking at me too long because they know I'm gay and, like,
and
I can't,
like,
be out. Yeah, I was, like, walking around kind of always, like, ready to fight. You know, I kind of was, like, always looking behind my shoulder, and I didn't even realize it. Yeah, and then I came here, and I just, like, literally don't even think about that part of me anymore, and I go home, and I'm like, whoa. But then I kind of, I slip right into it, though. I'm like, oh, yeah, I know how to be like this now. I know how to, like, you know, look behind my shoulder.
Yeah.
That's something that I didn't even think
about. Nor the stairs.
Oh, God. That's something I didn't think about either until I went back to Wenatchee for the first time after living in Seattle and, like, not even thinking about dating girls. But in Wenatchee, like, when I would go on a date with a girl, everyone would stare. Like, I have a friend who came out and it was in the newspaper.
Whoa.
Yeah. Granted, this was, like, maybe a decade before me. And it's like, you don't think about your how much your environment affects how you just are as a person and with other people until you change it.
And with that, it's like, I think that I like switching back when I'm home because I feel safer that way. And that's how I stayed safe. And I think it's almost harder for me to switch back when I come back to Seattle. Oh. To be back to being more open and vulnerable in myself. Yeah. Because then it's like, it's okay here. You can take a breath of fresh air. But you're so locked into that defense mechanism, which we all develop because we have to stay safe. Because we aren't accepted. Even to this day, in an accepting society, we are still trying to stay safe.
So I guess maybe the advice here is, like, don't let go of your kindness and your vulnerability.
Yeah.
When you come back to your real home. So, next question. Coming out on social media versus coming out IRL. Is one more difficult, etc.?
Gabriel, I know you have something to say about this. You're grinning.
So, like, can I talk to my coming out story?
Please.
Yeah.
So, I was taking a shower. And, like, I was just, like, in there. It was, like, a regular morning. I don't remember what day it was. But I was taking a shower, and I was, like, breathing heavy. I was like, fuck, I'm gonna do it. Like, I don't know why I decided to come out, but I had to do it. So I was taking a shower. I'm like, I got the shower. It was, like, in the morning-ish. So I ran to my sister's room. I'm like, Megan, I'm gay. And she, like, knew. She's like, cool, like, awesome. I'm going back to sleep. But like, that was, like, a big thing for me because, like, that's the first time I've said it out loud because, like, I thought about it so much. But with the shame that came with my living situation, I was always like, no, that's not what's happening. Or if that's what's happening, like, even when I knew I was gay, I'm like, you're never going to come out because you're not going to do that. You're going to marry a nice girl. You're going to, like, have a life that everyone expects you to have, and it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. That's literally where I was, which now I'm like, whoa.
You're like, shut it down.
Crazy. Like, that's crazy I thought like that.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, so I came out to my sister first, and then she like, talked me up, and she's like, come on, like, come out to other people. So I came out to my friends. I called my mom and aunt who weren't in town. They were super accepting. I kept coming out to people that same day, and it felt so good. I eventually came out to my dad, which was super scary, but he was, like, he was drinking wine, so it was fine. We were on the drive. And then, like, I was like, should I come out online? Like, is that the right move? And I was like, it's the same idea we talked about earlier. I'm like, no. Like, that's a part of who I am, but I don't owe that to everybody or anybody. Yeah. So I didn't feel personally that online was the right call for me, and I've never come out online. I think people just kind of know now. But yeah, that was my experience.
See, I had, like, a very different experience to you. In that, like, I came out to my family face-to-face, called my siblings. All very low-key. Very, very low-key. But then I was like, eh, fuck it. And so I posted, like, a coming-out post because, like, my family's everywhere. My friends are everywhere. I want people to know because, like, I have the privilege of being very safe and having, like, very safe people in my life. And I had the experience where, like, one, for me, coming out online was way less scary because I didn't have to actually see the people that I was coming out to.
Mm.
It's like confession.
Yeah.
We get it. You're Catholic.
Yeah. So that, instead of, it was, like, much easier because I didn't have to actually look at people, whereas face-to-face, I had to actually, like, see my family and see, like, the change in their face. But I had so much internalized homophobia and, like, had spent so long shoving myself into the closet because no one else was keeping me there. That's the sad part, is there was literally, I had, my sister's gay, my parents have always been, like, wonderfully accepting. It was fine. Most people knew way before I did, but I just shoved myself in there. So when I finally accepted myself, I was like, everyone needs to know. I need everyone in my family, everyone in my world to know.
I love that.
Because I am gay, and it was awesome.
Can I make a comment on that?
Yeah.
And, like, this is totally, you feel like, that's bullshit, Gabe. Shut the fuck up. I think that you saying that nothing was keeping you there is true for your experience. I'm not saying that your experience is wrong, but, like, we live in a society where it's not. Like, even if we think that we had the most, like, the best support system ever, like, we had the family we needed, like, there is a society in America, in the world, where we are literally taught that gay is bad, and that if we aren't following this cookie-cutter perfect family or perfect person, we are wrong. And, like, that's just the tea.
For me, I had, again, a different experience. I felt peer pressured from my family to come out.
Interesting.
Oh, like, my God, I get that.
One of my teachers, because I also went to art school at 13, everyone was gay.
So cool.
The only people to hook up with were women. Like, it was fantastic. But, like, I remember an arts teacher asking me, like, what is your parents' ideal version of you? And I was like, a pregnant lesbian.
Oh my God.
Hands down, what? Immediately I knew that was the answer that my father would have nutted over. That was like exactly what my dad
is. Oh. Well, let's not bring that into this.
But you don't feel like there was like mixed in with the internalized homophobia a little bit of like, if I am gay, then that's like a whole set of issues that like a straight person doesn't have to deal with? Like,
No, because weirdly.
Moving through society?
I guess I got a bit of that from my stepdad who raised me. Because he has some opinions. But I had this really lucky ability to kind of watch my sister move through the world. And, like, she was always the most well-adjusted member of my family. So it didn't seem like such a curse or a burden. She was always in the most loving relationships. She always seemed to be the most settled, the most happy, the most well-adjusted. And not saying that that was because she was gay, but, like...
I'd love to get Luwin's take. I want to know what it's like being the first gay one.
Yeah, and also family. Because I mean, both of her sisters also came out.
Yeah, Emma, you do know what it's like.
To be the first gay one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how any of my younger siblings are going to react yet, though. I don't have a Mackenzie yet.
I'm the only
not
gay
old
one.
Enough. I'm not the only gay one by a long shot.
I'm pretty sure I'm not the only gay one. I may be one of three. We'll
almost 100% positive I'm the only gay one.
In the family?
Yeah.
Like in the extended family or just in your siblings?
I think there might be one other one that I don't know.
That just means you're the best cousin hands down.
Yeah.
Probably.
We have the burden of being the funniest cousin.
Yeah, I'm really funny.
Yeah, that's true. One time my little cousin Josie, when she was super young, I had this toy set of handcuffs. Nobody asked me about it. It was for magic.
That sounds
good. It was for magic.
No one asked me about it. Whoa.
But she, like, came up and put them on me. She's like, you're going to jail because your jokes aren't funny.
You're going to jail because you're gay.
That's funny. I want to just, like, highlight something that Mackenzie said that just really kind of stuck with me. It was like, once I accepted myself, everyone needed to know. I needed to share it with everyone. And that,
That's
I feel like, is so
nice.
So special to say.
That's how I felt about sex.
Hold on.
Moved to Seattle, I was like, whoa.
You're like, does everybody know about this?
Yeah. Oh, but mom, if you are listening, I am still a virgin. I did have a lot of internalized homophobia growing up, though. I was very homophobic.
Really?
I had this experience where, similar to Mackenzie, like, I had a lot of friends where I was like, nah, you're a lesbian. And so I was like, I'm such the person, if you tell me I am something,
I'm not that thing.
I will prove to you that you can't assume anything.
I was like, I love
vagina. Exactly. That's why I didn't come out for so long, because everyone kept shoving down my throat that I was gay, and I was like...
Yeah. And so, like, I'm
I had the same experience. I was like, y'all right, I don't know.
But that's why, like, I think it'd be harmful, though, too, because people can keep their opinions to themselves. Because when I was deciding if I should come out or not, I was like, am I only gay because people told me I was gay?
Yeah.
I was really fucking confused.
Yeah, that's fair.
I was like, nah, I'm fucking gay.
Yeah.
My parents never even tried.
That's crazy to me.
I never came out.
I remember my sister looking at me and my three brothers, and she went, I'm not the only gay motherfucker out of all of us. And I remember looking at my three brothers and going, yeah, which one of you? It was me.
I remember being very young, and I just remember being in the car with my dad, and he was like, unprompted, middle of nowhere, just goes, Emma, you know that we'll always love you, and I will always love you no matter what, right? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, no matter what. And I was like, yeah, Dad, I know. And he's like, no matter what paths you go on, no matter who you date, no matter who you fall in love with, no matter what. And I was like, I got it. Thanks, Dad. Thank you so much. And the first sex talk I ever got was about having sex with a girl.
Whoa.
The first and only sex talk I ever kind of halfway had was my mom talking about having sex with a girl.
Me too. it's interesting what you're saying, because I got that from my family too. Like, even the ones that don't agree with homosexuality, mm-hmm. but I wasn't worried about them not loving me. I was worried about them not accepting me or, like, being at my wedding. I don't want to get married. But being at my wedding or being there to support me, those were the things I was most worried about. And, like, I'm really happy that I came out, obviously. It's just one of those things where it's, like, you have to weigh those options.
Absolutely.
Be okay. Be content with what you decide.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. All right. I think we have one last question, and it's an audio.
I do just want to mention, we had a couple of other responses that we feel would make really great topics for an entire episode. So if we didn't cover your question, we did get it, and we are going to get to it probably in a very good way.
Yeah, it's in a specialized episode.
Yeah.
It's a shame I won't be there.
Maybe he'll come back.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm pretty booked.
All right, time for our audio question.
Oh my god, I'm so sorry. I'm answering this maybe a little late. So a little background. Basically, I had this friend, and she came out to me as being bi, and I don't know, it started like when we met in freshman year, and I had like a little crush on her. And obviously, like, I wasn't single, and she was like, oh no, like, I'm too straight, blah, blah, blah. Fast forward to our junior year, she comes to me, like, she's super drunk, and she says that she's bi, and that I made her bi, blah, blah, blah. And obviously then, I was not single as well. So what happened was, I was kind of, like, doubting her friendship, because it felt like she was only, like, hanging out with me when she wanted to, and was like, oh yeah, I'm always here for you, you know? But not really, you know? So she was using me as like a crutch, basically, for herself. And then one time when I sort of confronted her about it, she said that, we are friends because I've only told you this secret and someone else. And if we weren't friends, then I wouldn't have told you. So my question was, like, is it possible that someone can use... someone can use their coming out to you as a, I don't want to call it a bargaining chip, but like as something to hold over you and to make you remain in that friendship, you know?
So the answer is yes.
Yes. Absolutely yes.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Hot damn. Gabe, your take.
I think it's the theme of the show is like you don't owe anyone anything, and that includes people that come out and use that as a... Like, it's probably because they're insecure. I'm guessing. I'm not a psychologist. But the fact that they're using that as a crutch...
They're using it as a weapon, I guess, to keep a friend, to keep... Not even a friend. To keep somebody there that they can use and lean on when they are...
That's fucked.
...feeling needy.
Yeah.
Period. And, like, I know that if I was that person, I'm being all like, no, fuck that now, blah, blah, blah. But if someone did that to me, I would feel really sensitive about it because someone's coming out to me and I feel like that, like... Because
yeah,
I've had
like
to do that.
Big. Yeah,
like, I've had to do that. I'd be really empathetic to that. But since I'm not in that situation, the advice I would give is that's fucked. Drop that friend. They don't get to use that against you.
Period.
Well, yeah.
There you have it.
There
folks.
You have it.
I mean, pretty damn
that's,
well.
Yeah.
That's fucked.
That's fucked up. If she has her own shit she needs to sort through, and I feel. Yeah.
The best thing you can do is cut her out of your life for right now.
I hope that she gets some help.
Yeah, maybe send her to a therapist. And as always, the best way to figure out this sort of thing, communicate those boundaries, baby.
Yeah.
Tell the truth.
I had almost this exact experience happen to me. Instead of coming out, it was about someone that they had known suicide and the details of it. Basically, they ended up telling me about it. And then when I kind of started to put up those boundaries, they started to do the exact same thing where it was like, I told you about this because I trusted you. And like, if you were really my friend, like you said, and you cared about me, like you said, you did, like you would be fine with me telling you about this. And like, I found out much later that they were pretty mentally ill and I had no idea at the time. And I don't think they knew at the time, but in hindsight, they should have gotten help a lot sooner. Because that manipulative behavior is not always, you know, associated with mental illness. I'm not going to, like, diagnose anybody, but that does sound like experiences that I've had with people who have mental illnesses, like a borderline personality disorder.
But also their mental illness is not
No, but it has nothing to do with you. And if they're not getting the help that they need, you can't help them. So you need to step away if you're getting hurt. I have no idea if they got the help that they needed because I had to remove myself from that situation.
And like, we're not therapists. you're not a therapist, they're not therapists. No. Like, you need to direct them to a therapist, and that's all you can do.
Exactly. Yeah, I told them to get help and to not contact me again.
Yeah.
Any other topics you want to talk about, Kate?
We should probably, I guess we should check if we have any more questions, huh? Just in case.
I just want to say, like, if you are still in the closet and you're listening to this, like, what I want to say to you is, like, come on out. Like, you're going to do great. But I know that's not always easy. And there are people that I hold dear to my heart that I think might still be in the closet, like, from around the world. I'm not going to just say here. And I just want to say to you, like, if you are in the closet still and you're feeling safe, like, find that one person you trust. And if it's not one person, write it in your journal. Don't keep it so bottled in to the point where you're driving yourself mad, because that's just going to make it harder for you. And, like, we all know deep down who we are and, like, all that stuff, I think. And just, like, be true to that, even if it's not in front of everyone. Like, that's not necessarily what coming out is. You can be coming out to your fucking journal. Like, just, like, putting it somewhere for you to be able to express yourself fully is important.
I love that.
Exactly.
I love that.
Exactly that. That was perfect, Gabe. Thank you.
Wow. We got a couple more questions.
We got a couple more questions because I always get the fucking weird ones.
So we save them toward the end so we can shout them out.
Hi, smiley face. Crown, what's the best day you've ever had? Keep crushing. Content is awesome. That's not a listener. Hope you're having a good day, and hey, it seems like you love reptiles. Check out my account, at reptilegram.id, for the best reptile update. Free shout out there, bud.
Thanks. Check out reptilegram.id.
Or don't.
For the best reptile updates.
Not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor.
Okay. Okay. Gabe, thank you for coming on. I think that was the perfect amount of advice for right now. Thank you all for tuning in. I'll see you all next week. I was Emma.
I'm Emma. And I continue to be Mackenzie.
I'm Gabriel Fitzpatrick on Instagram. My at is Gabriel Fitzpatrick, spelled exactly as it sounds. Thank you for having me, Emma and Mackenzie.
Send us your questions, scenarios, and anecdotes at Y'all Call This A Date on Instagram.
Here's the final say, Gabe.
Just be safe out there, my fellow gays. That's the T, yeah.
T.
Period.
And my Instagram is at Gabriel Fitzpatrick.
Follow him on Instagram, please.
If you don't include that on the podcast,
I'm going to include it. Don't worry.
I'm not thirsty. I just love attention.